This happened a few years back. I was 11 years old at the time, with my family driving in the middle of nowhere, Montana. It was also the middle of the night in the dead of winter. We used to own this place in the literal middle of nowhere, and every once in a while we'd drive out and spend a week fishing, camping, and hiking. So we were driving back towards civilization, and everyone was tired. Big walls of snow were on either side of the road. Beyond the dirty snowbanks, you could see thick tree lines. We were cruising along, climbing up over this mountain pass. I remember I had half my forehead pressed up against the cold glass while I tiredly watched what little snow and nature I could make out in the dark. Then I saw this person. I will always remember her as a female. Maybe that's just what I settled on in my head, but either way, they were wearing a tattered coat, multiple layers, and carrying a couple of big bags. I remember seeing a flash of a cold face. I wasn't the only one to see her, though. My dad mumbled, "See that? Must be freezing out there." And my mom said something like, "Maybe we should give them a ride." But we were already a half mile away. So we got to the top of this mountain. I could tell because I got that feeling in my ears, and we began the descent down to the other side. The driving conditions were not great, but the old family car was doing just fine. We leveled out a bit, and I started scanning the distance for any signs of a city, town, or anything. Still nothing but snow and trees out there. We were totally alone. We began the real descent and we started winding down this mountain pass. I was staring out the window at the snow and trees as the drive got scary. We hadn't passed a car for what seemed like hours. I remember my dad started talking about something, and that's when I saw her again, standing out in the snow. I got a brief glimpse when they were illuminated by the headlights, but then gone. This time I got a better look at her face, and I wish I hadn't. A really strange smile in the middle of a very disfigured face. Maybe she was a horrible burn victim. In that brief second, I couldn't get the image out of my head, but it felt like she was staring right at me, smiling, some messed up kind of understanding in her small black eyes. So we drove on for a bit, and I remember just staring out the window. It immediately struck me. How did she get there? How did she travel miles and miles and miles in front of us? We didn't pass a car, truck, or anything, and there wasn't really any other road out there. We eventually got to the bottom of that mountain and made it to some roadside motel where we stayed for the night. The next morning, we found this little diner right outside the town that we stayed in. It was a classic trucker stop type of diner. We ate and played I Spy. After the bill was paid and we zipped up our coats, I heard the doors chime. We were all heading out when I looked up and saw her again. The same coat, the dozens of hooded sweaters, the big bags filled with what looked like damp clothing. I was walking out behind my dad, and I remember that she gave this look at me as she passed. She really looked like she hated me, like she knew things I didn't, looking at me with that huge, disfigured smile. She stopped beside me, but I stayed behind my dad until we got in the car. I don't know what really was going on. I couldn't help but feel bad for her if she was truly lost out there walking for miles in the cold. Or maybe someone had hurt her. Probably a dozen of explanations for the whole experience, but I can't shake the weird feeling like she was following us. My family and I were driving from Ohio to Wyoming one holiday season to visit family about 10 years ago. Due to storms farther north, we traveled straight west instead of northwest at first and split the trip at Omaha, staying the night before heading up through Nebraska into South Dakota. Once we were far enough north, we turned west onto I-90. At that point, it had been over an hour since we saw anywhere that might have had a public restroom, and we were on state routes, so no rest areas. Those of you who have traveled with a young child know the bladder and boredom limit isn't very long, and our daughter was begging to stop somewhere to pee. South Dakota was similarly deserted, or even worse, as we headed west. Finally, we reached a desperately needed rest stop as my 5-year-old and I both needed to pee by then. Just as we pulled in, the truck that had been following us for a while pulled in as well. I didn't think too much of it at first until I started to open my door. My head was turned to the right where the truck was parked just a couple of spots over. My eyes met with the driver's, and I just shivered. He was a skinny white guy, scraggly gray-brown beard, and dark eyes. I could see that he was wearing a dirty blue plaid shirt. He got out of his 90s brown and cream truck and started rummaging in the bed. I told my husband that I didn't want to go into the rest stop alone because of the guy and the weird feeling that I got from him. My husband thought that I was being a little silly, but agreed to come with us. At that point, the next stop was the town of Wall, South Dakota, about 100 miles away still, according to the huge billboards we'd passed advertising it. My husband figured he'd better empty his bladder, even though he didn't particularly feel the need. I grabbed our daughter and we headed inside, followed by the guy who had been rummaging in his truck and wasn't carrying anything when I glanced back. My daughter and I did our business in the women's restroom and headed back out into the lobby. As I expected, my husband was already out there, since he didn't have a small human to chaperone. The old guy was also in the tiny lobby area. He was just standing there staring at my husband. My husband rushed us back out to our car. As we were buckling in, he locked the doors. Then he told me that the guy hadn't even gone to the restroom and was just standing in the lobby the whole time. He agreed with me that we might have just had a close call, and he was glad that it hadn't just been me and our daughter to go in there. However, that's not the end of the story. That 100-mile drive to Wall was pretty easy with empty landscaping, but a decent number of turnoffs from the interstate. We didn't see the truck following us and thought that the whole episode was behind us, except when we stopped in Wall to grab lunch and some road snacks, plus look at this fun little tourist trap in the middle of nowhere, we saw the guy in the store not even 20 feet away from us. Same face, beard, and dirty plaid shirt. Thankfully, we'd already eaten, so since he was staring at us again, we quickly paid for our snacks and trinkets and got out of there. We didn't see him again, but I was seriously creeped out until we reached our relatives in Wyoming safely with no other sight of that man or his truck. It was about 2000 or 2001, and my best friend and I were 13 years old. We lived in a small town in rural Minnesota of about 2,000 people. Out of our friend group, her and I were the only two who lived out in the country, farther away from the small town, out in the middle of nowhere. So we understood the boredom that could ensue, but the fun things that would come out of it. Exploring the woods, running around in the cornfields, creating forts, exploring the abandoned house on their property. It was a really fun time for us. One day, we decided to take our bikes and ride down some gravel roads. Her little brother tagged along, and he was probably about 9 or 10 at the time. We were riding along, laughing, probably picking on her brother, when we saw an old shack out in one of the cornfields. The corn wasn't fully grown, so we were able to see most of it. We decided to explore it, because why not? I'm 33 now, so bear with my memory. I don't remember much about the episode, but I do remember what I saw inside, and it still gives me the creeps to this day. We peered inside, and the first thing we noticed were posters on the walls of the room. They were on every wall. There was a different person on every poster, and they looked angry. Some held guns pointed right at you. Some were pointing their finger, and it felt like they were pointing right at us with their eyes trained on us. In the center of the floor was a perfectly painted red circle. As we were staring at this creepy scene, I felt like we were being watched, and not by the posters. I looked to my right across the gravel road and into the cornfield across from us. Standing in the middle of the field was a man. He was just watching us. He was not waving his arms, not yelling at us, just watching. I alerted my friends, and we looked at him together. I awkwardly waved, and he continued to just stand there and not wave back. We were sufficiently creeped out, so we jumped onto our bikes to get away. We were on gravel, which is not easy to bike on, so it took us a while to get going. We biked away, and I repeatedly turned around to see if he was there and still watching us. He barely moved, and only turned his body slightly to angle in our direction to keep watching. I can't get over how he just appeared in the middle of the field like that. Eventually, once we had biked a good distance away, we saw him start walking away out of our view. Recently, I've been thinking about this, so my friend, her brother, and I started a group chat. We all shared what we remembered, and they both recalled it the same way I did. What I didn't know was that when we went back the next day, everything was gone, even the red paint on the floor. A week later, whoever owned the shack donated it to the fire department to be burned. I don't know what was going on in that shack. Some thoughts have been weird rituals, target practice for some militia dude, or just some creepy guy who had a poor taste in decor. Whatever it was, it still weirds me out to this day. This happened at night in the middle of nowhere about 8 years ago. It was after 11 p.m. and I was taking my dogs out for their last bathroom walk before bed. At the time, I was living in a rural area. Houses far apart, lots of wooded lots around, with wild pigs often crossing our path. I would often take long walks, because one of the dogs had a problem with having accidents in the morning if he didn't have an adequate walk to do all his business. It was dark, so I had the flashlight, and I was not expecting to meet anyone out in the middle of nowhere so late at night. But ahead of me appeared on the opposite side of the road another flashlight. We had a few neighbors, but of the homes around, I knew most all of them from over the years. On rare occasions, someone else may be walking a dog, but I could count the times that happened on my fingers. As I passed by the other flashlight at night, I noticed a tall, pale man who I had never seen before cross the street to my side and began to follow behind me. He yelled out, "Hey, I like your dogs. Can I pet them?" I stayed calm, walking briskly and ignoring him. My house was close, and I was almost home at the end of my walk. He continued to follow me, yelling, "Hey, what's your name? I just want to pet your dogs." He had a thick East European accent. I ignored him and ran up to my house through the door, locked it, and then ran into my bedroom. I told my husband that there was a strange man who had followed me home, and that I was super disturbed that he knew where I lived. My brave husband immediately ran out of the house, I guess to find this guy. I was on pins and needles waiting for him to come back. He came back home with his steel baseball bat in hand. He said he had caught up to the guy and asked him who he was and why he was following around a woman at basically midnight being a creep. The guy said he was new to town and was walking around hoping to meet people and make some friends. Basically, his story was bizarre and totally didn't make sense. You don't do that at midnight in a rural area in the middle of nowhere. You do that in a city setting at a normal hour. My husband told him that if he ever saw him again near our house, he would break his knees with the baseball bat. And I didn't see him again until 2 years later in a neighboring city. I was out with a girlfriend looking at an art museum when I turned a corner and it was him. I could never forget his face. He looked straight at me, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but I knew who he was from that night 2 years ago, which was still very strange. He said something like, "Oh, you're the girl from that night with the dogs." I don't remember what I even said back, because I was in disbelief. The exact same guy, again with the thick European accent, tall, skinny, and pale. This time, I had run into him in a public museum, so I can't fault him much since it was a public place. But it was still creepy that he remembered me from the dark night 2 years ago. I grabbed my friend's arm and quickly walked in the opposite direction and we left the museum. I told her the story as we left the museum and thankfully she understood. Also thankfully, I never saw him again. Back when I was in college in Texas, my roommates and I decided to drive to Boulder, Colorado for spring break. It was another girl and I, along with our two male roommates. To maximize our time in Boulder, we decided to take shifts driving and go all the way through the night rather than stopping for overnight stays. It was roughly an 18-hour trip. So, I was driving my shift when we reached the Texas Panhandle in the early morning hours. We were out in the middle of nowhere and had not seen a single car in either direction for ages when we noticed headlights behind us. The car came up on us quickly, then followed behind for some time. Oddly, it would get really close to us, then back off real far, then get close again. This pattern continued for several miles. Suddenly, the headlights were joined by red and blue police lights. It was so dark out there that we had not seen the light bar on the hood and had not realized we were being followed by a cop. I checked my speedometer and I was not speeding, so we were all wondering why we were getting pulled over, but I went ahead and pulled over to the shoulder. Up came a cop wearing a cowboy hat to my window. He shined his light in the car and looked us over, then asked me to get out of the car. I hesitated at first, but there were three other people in the car, so I wasn't feeling particularly unsafe at this point. I grabbed my wallet, got out, and stood against the driver's door. The cop looked at my license and insurance, then told me that he was going to do a sobriety test. I was thinking, why would I need to do that? But I haven't had anything to drink, so I did it anyways. The way the cop directed me for the walking in a straight line test had me ending my walk right by his car. When I finished, he reached over to open his back passenger's door and told me to get in. I said, "What? Why?" He said that I should sit in his car while he looked up my license. Now, I had heard how doors on the back of cop cars can only open from the outside, so I knew if I got into his car and he closed the door, I wouldn't be able to get out. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning, pitch black darkness, on a road dozens of miles from any civilization, and I decided I was not getting in that car. My exact words were, "I'm sorry, sir, with all respect and for my own safety, I do not want to get into the back of your car." He angrily responded with, "What did you say to me?" I repeated my statement again, being as nice as possible about it, and I stayed calm the whole time. He went back and forth like this for several minutes, with him being really angry and threatening to arrest my friends and I and hold us overnight. Finally, he gave up trying to get me into the back of his car, and he said to me, "What are you afraid of, being kidnapped?" Personally, I thought that was a really strange and messed up thing to say. I glanced towards my car and saw my friends piled to the back window watching, with the two guys looking ready to jump out. The cop turned to look at them too. I don't know what went through his mind, but after being completely aggressive with me for what seemed like forever, he finally gave me a creepy smile. He handed me back my license and insurance, tipped his hat, and then got into his car and drove off. He didn't give me a ticket or even mention what I had done wrong or why he had pulled me over. At that point, I was shaking so badly that my friends had to help me get back in the car. To this day, I think about that cop deciding to terrorize a young college female at 3 a.m. in the middle of rural Texas, and I often wonder what would have happened if I had not stood my ground and instead gotten inside of his cop car. I wondered if he would have tried to take advantage of me in the backseat of his car, and I also wonder if he was even a real cop or not. When I was a 15-year-old girl and my best friend, who I will call Ari, was 14, we had a scary encounter. We were huge stoners back then. We were young, but our whole friend group was skaters, so we ended up smoking a lot. It had been raining all day, and it was going to be a rainy night as well, and as our friends were all skaters, it wasn't shocking that nobody wanted to hang out that night. Wet ground means no skating normally. Well, Ari and I still wanted to hang out, so we went out that night to smoke together. I can't recall if we left our homes and met up, or if we were already together in one of our homes and went out together. Either way, we went out and figured which of the many spots for smoking would be the driest. We settled on this one at the handball courts of my elementary school. I'm going to try to describe this spot as best I can. So, it was a yard to my elementary school with handball courts, and we sat on a bench under a massive tree. In front of us was a large concrete slope going down for the teachers to drive up and park. We would have to stand up and then walk down the slope in order to exit. At the bottom of the slope was a bunch of basketball courts, like 10 of them, and behind that was a large playground. It was public park property stuff, but somewhat connected to the school. This night was very quiet, and we hadn't seen anybody outside because of the wet weather. It was our summer break, so adults were likely asleep preparing for work the next day. We were sitting on this bench smoking and playing music. I noticed from far away, at the end of the basketball courts and just before the playground, a huge man was sitting there on a bench. I could tell from his silhouette that it was a big dude. I told Ari, and her being the more reckless of the two, told me to relax and that we were fine. But me being the really on guard type of person, I could not chill out. I kept telling her that something wasn't right, and I made her turn off the music. What was this clearly grown man doing in the wet rainy park at midnight totally alone? He himself wasn't smoking, he wasn't on his phone, and he was stiffly facing us directly. He didn't turn his head once our entire session. I mentioned this all to Ari towards the end of our session, and she finally agreed that something was really off. We were ready to leave though, so we didn't think it was a big deal and would just go. We kept an eye on the person down the bench as we left. Now, if you recall and understood my description, we had to walk down that slope to exit the area. This also meant getting closer to that guy. We would still be far from him, but closer than we were now, and he would obviously see the direction we were going for a minute as it was a big slope. We started heading down the concrete slope, and the whole time Ari and I were holding each other's hands tightly. My eyes didn't leave the guy for even a hair of a second. I was so focused, but also freaked the heck out. I kept telling Ari not to run away and to walk calmly, and I was probably trying to convince myself at the same time, to be honest. I just felt like if we started running, he would know we were scared. I can't explain why, but I felt like that would make things worse. We were not even halfway down the slope when the dude very slowly and stiffly rose up from the bench. My eyes were locked onto him, and he was huge. Then, in one swift movement, he went from totally frozen to darting directly towards us. I mean, this guy was seriously running, and his legs were so long, his strides were massive. The second he took off directly for us, Ari and I dropped our grip from each other and bolted down the slope into the middle of the road. We were running and screaming, and all I could imagine was him grabbing one of us. Like I said, it was totally a wasteland outside that night. So even what was usually a busier street during the day was so dead so late at night in bad weather. I'm not sure why, but I guess we telepathically agreed to run towards where our group usually hung out when we weren't smoking. The park that was across the street and down the block. It was a block that we went around the basketball courts, so the entire run we could see the guy darting towards us and making his way onto the road behind us. We thought by some small chance we'd see our friends hanging out at the other park, but we were wrong and it was deserted. I could feel both of us becoming exhausted when we realized we probably wouldn't see anyone for over a mile, and that if we did, it would be by absolute luck on a night like tonight. We ran and ran until we reached an overpass of a highway that was still empty, but at least it had more streetlights. We hadn't looked back for a while now, but when we reached the overpass, we noticed that the huge guy was gone. I'm not sure what made him quit. Maybe he realized we were not to be messed with, or that he underestimated how fast we were or how far we could run without getting tired. Maybe he just wanted to scare us. I'll never know, and I don't really care to know either. I live in northern British Columbia, Canada. A couple of years ago, my friend had invited me to come with him, his mom, and his sister to a resort by a lake an hour and a half or so out of town. This was the end of June and beginning of July. The place is called a resort, but it's more like a cabin in the woods type of place. There's a main log building where you check in, and it has a restaurant, a few log cabins, and some spots down by the lake for RVs to park in. There's a highway that you turn off up to the lot where the check-in building is, and to the right of the highway is forest for miles, as well as everywhere else around that area. Around the lake there's some houses and whatnot, but if it isn't a long weekend, there's not too many people out there. The cabins and RV area is separate, and the main building is about a 5 to 8 minute walk away from the cabins up a spiral road. A little bit past the main building, there's a clearing where you can sit at a couple of tables, and about 50 feet into the woods past those tables are two small lagoons surrounded by an old wire fence. When we got in for the evening, we unloaded the car, got acquainted with the log cabin, which was nice, and then we went out to explore around. Not too much interesting stuff happened the first day, as we didn't explore a whole lot before dark. Skip to the next day, and it was cloudy and raining, which we were hoping for, as that meant that there were very few people at the resort, and we'd get free rain over it. We explored down by the lake and around the cabin areas more thoroughly, and eventually we made our way up to the clearing where the tables are located. We looked at the tables to see that they hadn't been touched in what looked like a very long time from the amount of grass and weeds that was built up around them. While investigating, I took notice that around 50 feet or so back into the woods, there was what looked to be a clear area. We slid down into this ditch-like area, which was probably around an 8-foot difference in elevation from the table area, and trampled through the brush. We eventually came to this spot, which we were pretty sure were lagoons due to the way they were constructed, and we noticed that there was a wire fence around it. We tooled around the area looking at the lagoons, and eventually we left, planning to come back later in the day as it was getting time to eat dinner. The next day we went back to that area with the tables, planning to go into the lagoon area once again, but before we had a chance to go down the ditch, we stopped because of a noise. The noise we heard were two small twigs being walked over and snapped in the lagoon and ditch area we had traveled the previous day. We stuck around for about 10 minutes or so, until we got hit with an intense feeling of dread at being attacked by a bear or some other animal that could be walking around in the lagoon area. We went back to our cabin where we played poker for the rest of the night. While playing, we discussed the events that had taken place, and eventually laughed it off, saying it was probably just a bear passing through or rabbits in the area. The next day, it was raining heavily and much darker than the past couple of days. We left our cabin and planned to go to the lagoon area later, but we wanted to chill around a medium forested area close to the cabins first. We were messing around in the woods, breaking big sticks on trees. Suddenly, we had heard what sounded to be someone else doing the same thing about 200 feet away in the direction we were facing. It was hard to judge how far exactly it was because the way the forest carries sound, but it was far in front of us. At first, we thought it was an echo, but after experimenting a little more, we found out that it wasn't an echo. Someone or something out there was also banging sticks, copying us. We wouldn't have cared too much about this until we took notice of where it was. The entire area around there and beyond was all forested and not near any of the cabins. Having someone in those forests along with us that far in, and in the less favorable weather with being very few people at the resort at that time, was unlikely. We decided to leave the area and come back later during the evening. So after leaving the area, we went back around to the lagoon area and listened for a couple minutes. We couldn't hear any walking, so we assumed that we were right about it being a passing forest creature yesterday. Not even 5 minutes into us being around the lagoon area, I told my friend to stop moving. We both stopped and listened. We heard what sounded to be the footsteps again, but as they were coming in louder and faster, we got that same overbearing feeling of dread. We hightailed it out of there spooked, and we booked it back to our cabin. Later that evening, we returned to the forest clearing area where we had heard the branch against the tree noise earlier in the day. We again started smacking branches against trees, this time not hearing anything. But as I turned to my left, something caught my eye. There was what appeared to be a person standing behind a tree, and I saw them duck behind it when they noticed that I noticed them. I nearly screamed, but I held it in and immediately told my friend that we needed to get out of there, and we sprinted back to the cabin. Later that night, while sitting in the loft area where our beds were, we discussed what had happened the last 2 days. The area that I had seen the person was in the exact same area where we had heard the mimic banging earlier that day. Also, both days we had been down near the lagoon area and had heard footsteps walking around. It was very creepy, as there was too much of a coincidence for the person or figure I had seen to not have been watching us and following where we were going both days. Very strange activity, as it was a rainy day and night both days that we were out exploring. We left the next day as our booking had ended, and I was happy that I didn't have to stay there any longer, being constantly watched.